Good morning. Hello. 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 How's everybody doing? Good? Yes? All right. We all happy? It's springish weather out there. We like walking the dog in this kind of weather. It's better than putting on three coats. And I think we should sing some songs. I think we should start with, I don't know, what song you want to start with?
How about Every Day?
Let's stand up and sing. What to say?
What to say, Lord, is you gave me life and I can't explain just how much you mean to me right now. That you would save me, Lord, I give all I am to you. That every day I will be a light that shines your name.
We're gonna stand on his word.
Every day, Lord, I'll learn to stand upon your word. And I pray that I might come to know you more, that you would guide me in every single step I take, and every day I will be your light unto the world. Every day it's you I live for. Every day I follow after you. Every day I walk with you, my Lord.
Every day,
every day, Lord, I'll learn to stand upon your word. And I pray that I might come to know you more, that you would guide me in every single step I take, and every day I will be your light unto the world. Every day it's you I live for. Every day I'll follow after you. Every day I walk with you, my Lord.
It's you I live for.
It's you I live for every day. It's you I live for every day. It's you I live for every day.
It's you I live for.
It's you I live for every day. It's you I live for. Every day I'll follow after you. Every day I walk with you, my Lord. Every day it's you I live for. Every day I'll follow after you. Every day I walk with you, my Lord.
Folks, would you find your hymnal with me this morning? We're going to go back to our worship set in just a moment. But right now, if I could draw your attention to number 200, it is a responsive reading in your hymnal. You folks are going to start us off today, and I will come in right after you. For those of you who are joining us at home, welcome to our worship service. We're so delighted you could be with us and joining us today in worship. We are going to be reading today selected scriptures from the Gospel of John, along with the letters of Romans, 2 Corinthians, Ephesians, and 1 John. Listen to God's people as we read the scripture today. It's number 200 in your hymnal. Congregation, go ahead and start us off. From the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Having loved His own who were in the world, He now showed them the full extent of His love. God demonstrates His love for us in this: While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, our gracious Lord, for the story of salvation and for redemption history, Lord, we praise your name. For we know all of these things are found in Christ. It is of him, it is about him, it is to him, and in Christ is all things. Lord, our salvation is found in Christ alone. We thank you for drawing us unto yourself through your Holy Spirit, saving us and justifying us through the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, we thank you for that precious cross and that amazing empty tomb. Salvation purchased for us. Lord, we thank you for our current sanctification, being set apart unto the things and the purposes of Christ and being fashioned in his image more and more, as we know you will complete that work within us on the day of Christ Jesus. And Lord, with heightened anticipation, with great eagerness, we look forward to that day of our ultimate sanctification, the glorification of the saints, when we will look at Jesus, we will see him as he is. And Lord, until that day, may we be found faithful in all things. And Lord, when you come back to earth yet again, may you find faith amongst your people. Lord, today, this day, the Lord's day, the first day of the week, set apart for worship and adoration. Lord, receive the worship of thy people this day. We raise up your name. We do so now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Is here with me, the richness of your beauty's all I see, the brightness of your glory has arrived in your presence, God. Completely satisfied for you, I sing, I dance, rejoicing this divine romance. Lift my heart and my hands to show my love, to show my love. Deep, deep flood, an ocean flows from you, of deep, deep blood. Yeah, it's filling up the room, your innocent blood has washed my guilty life in your presence, God. I'm completely satisfied for you. I sing. this divine romance. Lift my heart and my hands to show my love, to show my love. In this divine romance, lift my heart and my hands to show my love, to show my
love. A powerful God, and we are privileged to do that little dance with Him on a daily basis, and to dance for Him in our lives, and to show our love to Him. And He's close to us and personal, but He's also a great big powerful God, and the master and the ruler of armies of angels. It's a really special relationship that we have with such a great and powerful God.
You hear me when I call, you are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemies underneath my You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, He is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, He is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. You are faithful, you are faithful. I know who goes before me, I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, He is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before. of angel armies is always by my side. No one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
You may be seated, friends. Go ahead and grab that hymnal of yours one more time this morning. We're going to take that back. Put that hymnal away, and go ahead and grab your Bibles if you would. Okay, that's where we're going to here. I saw singing, and we're going to be doing reading. Actually, we're not going to sing our favorite scripture passages. I would not do that to you. I love you too much. But we are going to be reading some of your favorite scripture passages, maybe some of the scripture passages that you found yourself in this week, maybe even this morning, things that were a blessing to you, an encouragement to you, a revelation to you from the Lord. So with that in mind, let's share with each other right now where we have been found this week in the Word of God. Who would like to go first? And for those of you who are joining us at home, my apologies. I do not have a microphone to pass around. So that's my... Aha, yes, we do. Yes, we do. AV is always on top of this. I would be hurting if it wasn't for them. All right, now this is for those who are joining us at home so they can hear all the scripture passages being read. Is Ed? Ed Eagle, my friend, where have you been this week in God's Word?
Well, so many places, but I will share a brief testimony. A few years ago, when we moved here, we moved from a house to an apartment. So for the past 5 years, over half of our belongings have been in a storage facility. Well, a couple of weeks ago, someone took a bolt cutters and cut my padlock and broke into the storage facility. And as I looked around, over half of our possessions are there, including three bicycles. And one's my classic from 1964, a really classic bike. The only thing that was stolen was three padlocks with the keys that I found in the dumpster. Now, who can figure that out, right? That's it. I was looking all through the storage facility, and I'd found these padlocks. Someone had thrown them out. They were still in their cases. And I scavenged them, and there were three padlocks with the keys. That was the only thing that was stolen. So while I was really bummed out, you know, nobody likes to be broken into. And I was thinking about God's provision and his care and stuff like that. And I was saying, hey, come on. That's all that got stolen. Praise the Lord. But especially this past month, as we have been witnessing what those dear people are going through in the Ukraine. And I'm sitting there watching the news, and these poor people, elderly people and little children, they're living in out of dumpsters, and they're living in the basements of school buildings. And God just reminded me, we have it so good.
Yeah, amen. We are blessed people in so many ways, and certainly a reminder to be in prayer for those things we see happening in our world today. Ben, you got one for us, buddy?
Joshua 1:9.
Okay, doesn't it look like you have a Bible in there? Yes. Are you going to quote it for us?
Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
All right. Somebody give Benjamin a star. Here we go. Here we go. And the child shall lead them. Benjamin, thank you for committing God's word to your heart. Yeah, here we go. Folks, another? One more possibly? Carol?
Thank you. I'm thankful to be here, and I know that I serve a risen Savior, and I know He's coming back. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I thank Pastor Rick for preaching the Word every day and reaching people for the gospel before it's too late. I just pray that there are some unsaved people that don't know for sure whether they've been saved. Before it's too late, open up your heart and give it to the Lord. And I'm just thankful that I'm here today, and thankful for all the people that are around me, the friends that I have. I really appreciate Pastor Rick preaching the word every day. I thank him for him and his family, and thank you for everything.
Carol, thank you, dear. You preach it, sister. You preach it, sister. Today is the day of salvation. So, folks, one more. Don't want to cut anybody off. David?
Go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we... I love him. Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith.
Amen. Hey, let's keep our eyes where they need to be, especially in these days, right, folks? All right, hey, gentlemen, would you please join me up front at this time? We're going to take up our morning offering. As the gentlemen are coming up, very, very quick reminder, please avail yourself to the announcements in your bulletin this morning. Men's gathering, the sign-up sheets are in the foyer for that. Ladies' Bible study, it begins in the month of April. The information is in the bulletin with regards to that. And the insert for the Easter Memorial Flowers, you have that information out front of you for that to sign up and to give that information to our decorating committee. Let's pray together. Lord, it is a blessing, it is a privilege to be found in the sanctuary of the living God today. I thank you, Lord, for the families that are represented here today, those who are found and worshiped to your name, these families who bring their children and their grandchildren to the house of God to worship and to learn and to exalt the name of Christ Jesus. And Lord, you remind us each and every day of our great and many blessings in Christ. And now, Lord, in response to that, we bring forth our gifts, our offerings. Lord, receive the tithes of the saints this day. We will worship you in this way, and we will do so in Jesus' name. Amen. I hand things over to Elsie and Seth. The hymn that Jennifer was just playing right now is going to be our closing hymn this morning. So you're going to hear it again. We wanted you to get used to it a little bit right now. We'll be singing the lyrics to it in just a little bit. But right now, gentlemen, lady, thank you very much.
Elsie and I are pleased to bring a song to you today called Canyons. And it's by Corey Asbury, and it's off of, I think it's his latest album. Whatever it is, we've about worn it out in our car. I've been listening. If it was a physical, like a cassette, it would have broken in half probably by now. But we're happy to be able to stream it into our car over and over and over again. And it, talks about the provision of God and his love for us. I've scaled all the highest of mountains. I've stood at the edge of their peaks. But I still couldn't see to the edge of your love for me.
Thank you both for directing our hearts to the person of Christ, our Savior. Can I direct your attention now to His Word? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Join me in the sacred text this morning, if you will. And our children who are going to junior church, there they go. All righty. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Hey, let's pick up where we left off last week and the past several weeks in our ongoing study through the little New Testament letter of 2 Thessalonians. Would you pray with me, and then we'll immerse ourselves into God's Word together. Oh Lord, it has been good to be in the house of the living God today. Lord, our prayer, our hope is that which we have raised up to you is glorifying in your sight, honoring to your name. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us so. The themes that we have been singing of this day, your great love for us, your amazing grace to us. Lord, we are recipients. We know of it every day. Lord, help us to walk in the pathway of your blessings and obedience to the word. And Lord, as we devote the moments that are before us now into the study of your word, I just pray that we would have clarity of thought, a sensitivity to the leading of your Holy Spirit as he directs us along into words of truth, words of life, and words of light. Lord, help us take to heart this day, the sacred text. Lord, take your word that you have so wonderfully and freely and amazingly given to us. Lord, massage those words into our hearts and our thoughts. Encourage the saints this day, Lord. I pray through Jesus. Amen. There is a term that we use these days that has become a part of our vocabulary over recent years now. And that term is early adopter. Okay? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. An early adopter is somebody who jumps in very quickly on an idea or a concept or a technology or a product early on in its distribution phase. He or she might be one of the very first ones, so to speak, to get the new toy. Alrighty? Early adopters are usually those customers who adopt the new product a lot of times long before the majority of the rest of the population does. Sometimes they are also called lighthouse customers because they serve as sort of a beacon of light to those of us who will follow at a later time. Our culture has even given designations to different people groups or to different customers as to how quickly they receive or do not receive new products and new technology. So, for example, and I just lifted this right off of the internet to give us a definition of these terms. One of the groups is called the innovators. Well, who are the innovators? The innovators are the people who adopt a newly innovated product or technology. They're typically the youngest in age for all the types of customers who eventually purchase a product, may even have the greatest amount of financial resources and the greatest interaction with other innovators. This group makes up a very small percentage of people who purchase a product. Then you have your early adopters. These people are more selective in the products that they choose to purchase, although they generally are younger in age and have a high social status. Then there are the early majority. This type of early adopter is willing to purchase a new product after a varying degree of time. The early majority usually has contact with other adopter consumers, but generally doesn't hold an opinion leadership position themselves. The early majority consumer makes up a large percentage of the consumers to ultimately purchase a product. Then you have the late majority. These people in this category adopt a new technology or a product after it has been adopted by the majority of society. They tend to be more skeptical, have fewer financial resources, and are typically only in contact with those in the early majority and late majority category. And then you have the laggards. This category makes up those who are the last to adopt a new technology. These individuals tend to be more advanced in age and focused on traditions. They are typically only in contact with close family and friends. This category of consumers is approximately the same size as that of the early adopter category. So, in other words, you have those who just love new things and new ideas and new technologies. And you have another group of people who says to themselves, well, let's just see how things go for a while. Okay, I'm not going to be the first to buy that new make or model of vehicle. I'd like the manufacturer to make this for a few years before I sort of buy into things. And they come along a little later. And then you have those who sort of at the latter part of the groupings, and they're those who say, well, you know what? It's worked just fine for me all these years. I think I'm going to stick with what I've got before they jump in with everybody else. So there are these different kinds of categories. Invariably, in a group this size, there's probably some of you who would fall into these different kinds of categories. Well, as we make our way a little bit further to, this morning in the book of 2 Thessalonians, we're going to be dealing with a group of Christians who, if I can use today's vernacular, today's terms, were those who we could categorize as being the early adopters. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Join me there, if you will. Not in a technological sense, but rather more in a faith sense. Let me show you what I mean by this. The early adopters, the earliest of the early adopters, we might even call them the innovators, if we're using modern term designations, that is, would have been the earliest of Jesus' disciples. Those who decided to follow a relatively unknown rabbi who was making his way through the Galilean countryside and issuing a call to them. The early adopters would have also been found in Acts chapter 1. The Bible speaks of 120 of them, actually. We now know them as being the infant church, those who were there at the very beginning in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. They were there in the infancy stage of the early church. And then persecution hit, Acts chapter 8. We know that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus told his men that the gospel, the good news, would move out from there into Samaria and Judea and the uttermost parts of the earth. And then after the persecution of Stephen in Acts chapter 8, well, we read of that very thing starting to happen. After Stephen's persecution, Acts chapter 8, verse 2 says, "And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem." And here were Jesus' words. "And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, and the word which spread from there." You come to Acts chapter 13, and you read of this fellow by the name of Saul. You know him as the Apostle Paul. By this time, he has come to faith. He has been trained of the Lord, of the Spirit of God, for an extended period of time. And now the church at Antioch, where he finds himself, will send him out with the gospel. And the gospel is going to move into Asia at this time. If you are one who holds maps in the back of your Bibles, you'll notice that there are a number of Paul's missionary journeys listed there, three of them to be exact, at least three of them that we have a record of. And that record for us is called the Book of Acts. By the time you get to Acts chapter 16, one of the things we discover is that through the Holy Spirit, he begins to close certain doors in Asia. Maybe he had somebody else plan to go into those areas. But what we do know from Acts chapter 16 is that a door is open, wide open, for the gospel to move now further west into Europe. So that is where we follow the storyline. And those folks who would respond to the message of the gospel at that time, of which the Thessalonians were a part of, would be those that we could categorize as the early adopters of the message. And that is where we pick up this morning, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's pick up at verse 13. We know to this point that there are those who respond positively to the gospel. And we also know from the book of Acts, even in Thessalonica, that there are those who are just downright hostile and violent and respond to the gospel with extreme aggression. And the same is true today. There are some who will respond. Some will want a little bit more information. Some will want to continue the conversation. And among some, there will be absolute opposition. Let's take a look at these early adopters this morning. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's pick it up at verse 13. It says, "But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved, through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold on to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter." If you are here this morning and you hold the New American Standard Bible, it will read this: "But we should always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation." I know some of you here today hold the New Living Translation, the NLT. It reads like this: "As for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord." Listen, we are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. Now, what is the context of these verses? All of these verses, these words, these truths are written within a context. Let's remember what the context was. Back in chapter 1, you remember? Chapter 1, verse 4, Paul referred to their persecutions and their afflictions. These early adopters, if we want to call them that, or as the Bible will call them, the first fruits of those who came to salvation, these who came to faith at that time were now suffering persecutions and afflictions. These would have been some of the consequences for these dear folks, for these faith decisions. Faith for them would have been a costly matter. And can we not say the same also today? There are those who make decisions for Jesus Christ, and there might be a costly narrative associated with that because of the ongoing opposition to the message of the gospel today. It might have a cost attached to it. And then we read about, in chapter 2, of how they had been, the words of Scripture now, how they had been alarmed and shaken because of false teachers in their midst, because of a counterfeit letter, chapter 2, verse 2, that had been spreading amongst them that the day of the Lord had already arrived. That part of the day of the Lord, we've studied the day of the Lord before, that part of the day of the Lord that contains the tribulation years. And of course, in their minds, their persecutions and their afflictions would have verified, yes, of course, we are in the day of the Lord. And one of the reasons that we have 2 Thessalonians, along with encouraging these saints, was to remind them or to instruct them that, no, you are not in the day of the Lord. And there are evidences for what the day of the Lord will be. And he taught them about that in chapter 2. We looked at those verses in great, great detail. So all to say, Paul is writing, we get to verse 13 today, he's writing not only to correct the falsehoods within the congregation that were upsetting them, but he wants to come alongside them beginning today in verse 13. Paul wants to come alongside them and administer a little bit of pastoral care, some comfort. We read that in today's text of Scripture. The first thing that we notice in these verses is that he wants to bring some light into the darkness. He wants to encourage those who are suffering their afflictions and their persecutions because of the gospel. He wants to encourage them with some words and some compassion. And that's what we see going on in today's text of Scripture. These are some pretty dark days for these young saints. They had come to faith back in Acts chapter 17. Their spiritual father, their pastor, was scurried out of town under persecution. They have his teachings to hold on to. They have the first letter he wrote them to hold on to. But maybe, just maybe, they're beginning to feel somewhat isolated at this time. Their pastor, their spiritual father, is no longer with them in person. And maybe, just maybe, at this point in time, some are questioning their decisions that they made to come to faith and to embrace the gospel and to come to Jesus. Maybe, just maybe, they're starting to worry about their present conditions and even wondering about their future in light of what is happening to them. So the Apostle Paul, I see these verses as this single candle of hope. This solitary light that's going to come in their lives to encourage them right now with these gentle words. And he begins by telling them that he's praying for them. I want you to know that I am praying for you, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. These must have been precious, precious words to them. People who are being pummeled by worry and affliction. And these words are probably bringing tears to their eyes as they read the text, the words on the page. And Paul is going to remind them, and this is going to be key to our message today. This is it. He is quick to remind them of who they are in Christ. Satan will tempt them. Satan will lie to them. He will lie to us. The world will attempt to afflict us and to persecute us. But please, never forget what Jesus has said about you and the promises made to you. Satan is a liar. He is the father of lies. When going through Scripture, have in the forefront of your thinking what Jesus says about you, what the Word of God says about you. First, he wanted them to know. He wanted them to remember. Look at the text with me again in verse 13. They are beloved by the Lord. He's administering a little spiritual first aid to their hearts and their minds at this time. Their salvation and our salvation is grounded, it is rooted in God's love for us. And that is found in the form of a cross. Suffering has a way of, afflictions have a way of sometimes causing people to question their importance in life, their purpose in life, their significance in life, maybe their own dignity. Did you catch the words that Paul uses up to this point in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1, verse 4 again? He will use the words persecutions and afflictions. Chapter 2, verse 2, he will use the words shaken and alarmed. There's a lot going on here. And by giving thanks for these saints, he wants to uphold them before the Lord. He wants them to know of the great value that they have in the sight of Jesus. Brethren, verse 13, beloved of the Lord. And he wants to affirm them right out of the chute. Chuck Swindoll writes these words about this verse. He says, has suffering caused you to question your own dignity and importance? Have you been shunned by those who once embraced you? Have you been stepped on, trampled, and kicked while down? If so, you're probably feeling pretty isolated. Maybe you're even questioning your own worth. You're wondering just how you'll get through another day and can't even begin to look the future in the face. You're devastated, confused, disoriented. You need to be affirmed and encouraged. You long for someone to be thankful for you. You yearn to be loved. And in spite of how others treat you, you are beloved by the Lord. If you are in his family, he will never send you away, never slams the door in your face. You may run away like the prodigal son, but God will never send you away. And even in a far country, you can have the assurance that there will always be a place for you at home. There'll be hot food and a warm bed and loving arms to embrace you when you return. Always. And isn't that just like our Lord? Paul wants to remind these dear suffering Christians of who they are in Jesus. And one thing I want you to notice, don't miss this in the text. Paul does not have any magic wand that he waves over them to make all of their problems and all their afflictions instantly go away. That does not happen at all. The truth of the matter is they are in the very same position that they were at the end of the letter as they were at the beginning of the letter. The difference was they had the reminder of who they are in Christ. You know, if we could do a survey kind of study of some of the great theologians and church history, and we come across the writings and the pen of it comes from a man by the name of Martin Luther. Maybe some of the words that we come across very often, that was a significant theme in his thinking and in his writing and his preaching and teaching. It might be something like through faith, or maybe through grace. In the writings of the great Swiss reformer, John Calvin, it might be the word sovereignty or providence. If there was a little phrase that we see over and over and over in the writings of the Apostle Paul, it is the little phrase, in Christ, or in Him. We run across it again today. To view our lives that we live out today, regardless of what the world wants to throw at us, regardless of what you have on your plate this week, of who you are in Christ. Because that's what matters most. Not what the world thinks about us or says about us. It is what God thinks about you and says about you through His very precious promises to us. Who we are in Christ. And the revelation stated here is so simple, is so beautiful. It is probably really one of the more profound doctrines of all of the Scripture. And even though much of what we have been studying in past weeks, the past month, has largely been around the doctrine of eschatology and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and how important is that? But it is this one singular doctrine of our salvation that is so utterly profound. It is who you are, who I am, who we are in Christ. You see, our salvation did not originate by human choice. It is totally in the hands of God. And this divine choice is based on His divine love and His divine determination. And Paul gave thanks because they were brothers, beloved of the Lord. And one of the great, great truths of Holy Scripture is that He loved us before we ever loved Him. And that while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. Praise the Lord. And so with very, very few words, Paul tells them of God's divine plan to affirm them in their security. God's choice of them, of us, is irrevocable. And their salvation will continue until the ultimate glorification in the future. And they are with Jesus forever. And the same could be said of us today also. They were some of the early adopters, the first ones to believe. What a privilege this was. And God began a work of salvation in His life, His sovereign work, His uninfluenced, undeserved love, but yet He lavished it upon them and He does upon us. His love is not conditioned by any merit of mine or of yours. Remember what He told the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7? He said, "The Lord did not set His love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all of the peoples." And then in the latter part of verse 13 here, He tells them that they are a set apart people. He says, you have been sanctified by the Spirit and belief in the truth. The word sanctified means to be set apart. They have been set apart by the Spirit of God unto salvation. Listen to the way the Apostle Peter puts it. This is 1 Peter chapter 1. Listen to verse 2. He says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, and here it is, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that he's done within them, that he's done with us in salvation so that we could be saved. And folks, I got to tell you, though I did not realize it at the time, and maybe you did not either, but as I look back upon my life, even now, I can see those events, those happenings, those circumstances, those things that happened in my life where there might have been the closing of a door, the opening of a door over here, the leading in life's circumstances, the directing of my path to where it is today. And that has all been a work of the Spirit of God. I may not have understood it fully back then. I didn't even know it was happening back then. But today, with the gift of hindsight and being able to look in the rearview mirror, you can see the hand of God every step of the way. And we are reminded by that in this text of Scripture. These folks are beloved of the Lord. My friends, you are not here today by accident, by coincidence, or by happenstance. You are a called out people, beloved of the Lord, and he has his hands all over you. Verse 14, the reminder that there are called out people. And there's just such a boatload of theology in these several verses that we're looking at today, but I think some of the things these things do that we just read about helps to stabilize us when we're going through challenging, difficult times. You are chosen of the Lord unto salvation. You are a part of the family of God, even if there might be days or circumstances when you do not necessarily feel like it. You are called of the Lord, and he is the one who does the calling. You did not whistle for help one day. He first moved in your life. And you are the result of his love, not vice versa. He is on your side. These words, these truths are precious, and they produce confidence, even in the midst of persecutions and trials. Listen to the way Paul puts it to the ancient church at Rome. Listen to these words. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Absolutely nothing will separate you from him. And verse 38, verse 39, for I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Same thing he's telling the Thessalonians in different words to the Romans. These dear Thessalonian saints, these early adopters, they are facing some difficult days. They got on the wagon early on, and they're feeling the results of it in their lives at this time. Sufferings and afflictions from without, falsehoods and untruths, and a bogus letter from within. within their own assembly. They need somebody to come alongside them at this time to affirm them that they're going to be okay. Somebody is praying for you. Allow these truths to comfort and aid your soul. Dark days of affliction many times can lead to forgetfulness on our behalf. Forgetfulness as it relates to the goodness of God, possibly, if that were possible. Maybe even the hope of salvation. Maybe even the promise of the Holy Comforter who's been given to us. Paul wants to come alongside these dear saints at this time and sort of fill their darkness with words of hope and truth. So he doesn't wave any kind of magic wand. Their problems don't instantly disappear by no means. Matter of fact, the truth of the matter is they might have even gotten worse as the days moved on. But they needed to hold on to these great truths. Number one, God's great love for them. A reminder that they are part of the family of God. That they were chosen for salvation. That they were called through the gospel. That they were sanctified by the Spirit of God and belief in the truth. And then one day, they will gain the glory of Christ. And then the final exhortation, he tells them to stand firm. Hold on to the truth, the things that you have been taught. Hold on to these things. These are the things that will bring stability and security into your lives, regardless of what outward circumstances may look like. So, all that being said, let's throw out a few takeaways, and then we're going to set you on your way this morning. As I read this text of Scripture and study through its words, several things popped off the page to me anyways. Paul wants to come alongside these young believers and encourage them by telling them that he's praying for them. It's one of five prayers that is mentioned in 2 Thessalonians. What can we take from that? I would simply say this, be an encourager. Be an encourager. If you are here on a Sunday morning and you hear of a need, of a hurt, of a crisis from a brother or sister in Christ on a Sunday morning, don't let that person leave these doors without coming alongside them and saying, my brother, my sister, can I pray for you today? Be an encourager through the gift and the privilege of prayer. That's what Paul is doing for these young Christians. And then secondly, I would add to that in this very simple point. You've been hearing this through the message today. The scripture passages that we have read. A listening ear, a good word of compassion and truth go a long way. Let us remind ourselves often of who we are in Christ. If not, the devil is going to tell you what he wants you to know. And he's going to try to convince you of the lies he wants to spew on you. Let us remind ourselves often of who we are in Jesus. Dr. Jeremiah writes these words in his book entitled, Is This the End? He says this, the key to standing firm in the face of persecution is to remember whom we belong to and where we are going. We belong to Christ. And he secures us in his hand. Remind one another of who you are in Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together, friends. Oh, blessed Lord. Oh, we thank you so much for not only your revelation to us of yourself, but our position in you, not only for today, but for all eternity, as we are found in Christ alone. Thank you, Lord, that no matter what the world has to throw at us these days, and as we look around us, it is certainly a precarious world in which we live. But thank you, Lord, that you are sovereign, in full control, that your plan will unfold perfectly in your time, your way, and according to your sovereign design. And Lord, I thank you for who we are found in this day. Lord, let us be fellow encouragers one to another of the spiritual, the deep spiritual riches that are ours in Jesus. Lord, help us to be mutual encouragers one to another. Those who would come alongside and help carry another's burden. Those who would speak words of comfort and truth and blessing. I thank you, Lord, for this family, the family of God, of which you have called us out to be a part of. Lord, I pray that you would bless this congregation this week. Use them mightily for your works and your purposes. Bless them, Lord. Watch over them and keep them. May you be glorified through them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, turn with me in your hymnal this morning. 283. Jennifer played the music for us during the offertory. It'll be familiar to some of you. We're going to be doing the first and the third, one and three only, of 283. Those of you joining us at home, if you have a home hymnal, we are going to be singing, "We Are God's People." Let's remind ourselves once again in song of who we are in Christ as we dismiss today. It's 283, "We Are God's People," verse 1, verse 3. Please stand with me. Let's sing together. Let's rejoice. Look at that. When I wear Pastor Al's watch, you guys get out 10 minutes early. When I wear my watch, it's 10 minutes late. Gracious Lord, dismiss your congregation this day with your blessings, with the knowledge of your word, the power of your Holy Spirit, and the person of Christ. Lord, dismiss them with your blessings. Keep them, hold them near to you, O Lord, and as they have been blessed, let them bless others also. And together, let us love each other in word and in deed. Let us think well of each other in word and in deed. Let us be kind to one another in word and in deed. Let us be grace givers one to another in word and in deed. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, dear friends. Have a blessed day in the Lord today.